This is Mae Brussel. It's part two of broadcast number 699, April the 29th, 1985. I want to just read one page or parts of a page from a book called Fascism Today that is pertinent to the Bitburg story and the meeting that's going to take place there. This is about the rat line, which is not, it describes the way the Nazis got out of Germany and down to South America and into the Middle East and South Africa to start over again. And, of course, later after this book was written, it turned out that Licio Gelli helped with the Vatican to construct the rat line for the Nazis to flee. Many people knew that for a long time. It was used for Adolf Eichmann to reach Argentina. And, of course, the man above Adolf Eichmann lived in California and placed his secretary from the corporation TCI with Ronald Reagan for 8 years, Alain Van Damme. And if there's symbolism that's speaking today loud and clear, it's the American ambassador from Vienna being Reagan's secretary for 8 years and helping hire the administration the first 4 years, and then going back to Vienna, marrying the wealthiest man practically in Vienna at this time, well, one of the wealthiest. And our ambassador, it was a Viennese citizen, and she's now married to a Viennese citizen and makes the full cycle. America and Nazi Germany and Vienna melt both in those areas with our ambassador and also at Bitburg with the ceremonies coming up next Sunday. Adolf Eichmann, superior in California. And then the book goes on to describe Otto Skorzeny and Hans Ulrich Rudel were so efficient. They helped the SS generals, and among them a Kurt Meyer from the Panzer Division and Sepp Dietrich. Now, in this book, Fascism Today, it brings in two men from the Battle of the Bulge, Sepp Dietrich and Otto Skorzeny, who didn't end after 40 years. This isn't 40 years of peace. Sepp Dietrich was a defendant in that chair. The letter that I sent out and the photographs and talked about at the Battle of the Bulge, and Hans Ulrich Rudel and Sepp Dietrich and Skorzeny connect up to the Aryan Nations up in Idaho, Reverend Butler, Richard Butler, and the California Lockheed connections, and Lieutenant Gale, Lieutenant Colonel Reverend Gale. They became ministers, and the Aryan Brotherhood with Keith Gilbert organizing the prison, the Nazis in the prison system when Reagan and Meese and Raymond Pecunier were running it out here. So when you want to say 40 years is over, let's forget. If they all faded away, it would be different. But they all continued and worked with the Nazis in the United States with their computers ready to take over the United States today. And this book on the it's called Fascism Today, tells about the way they raised their money. And under the screen of being humanitarian, identical to the Vatican and the Knights of Malta and Reverend Moon, giving humanitarian aid to the Contras with Vernon Walters and Prescott Bush and J. Peter Grace and William Simon and that gang, under the guise of being humanitarian, this book says that they held together and that the German government let the HIAG, which is the Hague, be formed because they were supposed to be a mutual aid society of thousands of former SS men. There were actually 1 million in it at the end of the war, under the guise of being humanitarian, of helping them reschedule themselves and get jobs after the war. They actually were able to enter the ranks of public administration as police functionaries, as magistrates, as mayors, as teachers. And this book goes on that over the years, they established a well-organized SS group throughout the German government. And they extended not only in Germany, but then Otto Skorzeny and Hans Ulrich Rudel, who were entrusted with this pledge, this Thousand-Year Reich, of course, to Himmler and Hitler, went on down to South America, where they took the worst Nazis and Jew-baiters and into Madrid. And I've talked many times about the Odessa that was set up in Madrid with millions, billions of dollars of Nazi money, gold and diamonds, a large hunk out of Avida Perón's bank, but also that money that they've salted away. So identical to today, the humanitarian purposes, the Hague was kept continuously going and supported these people until they could work their way back in government. Now, I've mentioned Lev Dobryansky, and I'll continue part two of this subject right now, but I was working with another researcher this week who stated that it's no coincidence that Ronald Reagan is going to put a wreath at the tomb of the Waffen-SS. The Reagan administration has worked closely with the Waffen-SS and the people responsible for bringing them into the United States, the very Nazis that are being identified now, and we're trying to deport them, and some will be going to trial. Ronald Reagan's ambassador to the Bahamas is Lev Dobrianski. He's also on the board of the World Anti-Communist League with known members of the Waffen-SS, and John Signal, the advisor of the Pentagon, works with known members of the Waffen-SS. Our ambassador to the Bahamas is the publisher of a magazine called Ukrainian Quarterly. Ukrainian Quarterly. And in the summer of 1984, the Ukrainian Quarterly ran a feature article memorializing a particular general of the Waffen-SS. I'll spell his name so that you understand it. I'm going to have three names here that you may not be familiar with. He's General Pavlo Shandruk, S-H-A-N-D-R-U-K, of the Waffen-SS. He was the creator and leader of the Galician Division of the Waffen-SS, G-A-L-E-C-I-A-N Division, from the Upper Silesia area. When I heard this, I got out the book, The Order of the Death's Head, and I'm going to continue with Dobrianski and Singlaub, but I want to get to some other points this evening. I got out the book by Heinz Hohne, H-O-H-N-E, The Order of the Death's Head, and turned to the section on the Upper Silesia area because Lev Dobrianski was saying what a great guy this Waffen-SS general was. And this is what I found in that book, page 302. All that mattered to Heinrich Himmler was the success of his operations, the figures, the amount of people, the Poles that could be liquidated. This is in the Upper Silesia region we're talking about, their particular area. He dispatched new murder squads who had the special duty under SS Udo von Warsch, W-O-Y-R-S-H, to liquidate the Poles and the Jews in the Katowice area. Katowice is where John Paul II lived. Auschwitz is right next to it. Again, it brings up the identical city of the Auschwitz Pope. He had Himmler's partners in the Rome manhunt and was intended to initiate a new phase of the SS policy in the eastern Upper Silesia area. The deportation immediately of 50,000 Jews from Danzig, from West Prussia, from Poznan, and Upper Silesia put them into the interior of Poland, and then they were to strike terror and panic among the Jews of Upper Silesia and forced them to move into the general direction of Krakow. And when Heydrich heard of this, and Mr. Wagner, Edward Wagner, the deputy chief of staff in the new secret plan, they would move to the eastern territories that were once more under the German rule and concentrate all the Jews in Poland and in due course ship them off to be killed. Heydrich instructed them to start the deportation right in the heart of Poland. A military operation regime was set up in conquered Poland with Commander-in-Chief of the East, Colonel General Gerd, G-E-R-D, von Rundstedt, R-U-N-D-S-T-E-D-T, as their head in Poland. Now, Gerd von Rundstedt also is in charge and goes with Mr. Sepp Dietrich and Fritz Kramer and Otto Skorzeny to the Battle of the Bulge. After they annihilate and start their trains going and wiping out all the Jews and the political opponents in this Upper Silesia area, in the Katowice area, where the current Pope is with his Knights of Malta, William Simon, Vernon Walters, William Casey, Claire Lucia, we run them down, William and James Buckley, the current people in charge of our government, our United Nations, our Radio Free Europe, William Shakespeare, that Auschwitz Pope, and funding the Contras down in Central America, and so forth. Katowice was the area, the Upper Silesia was the selected place to start wiping them out. In this particular area was von Rundstedt, who then goes on to the Battle of the Bulge. Now, I got out one of my biographies on von Rundstedt, put out by Ballantyne, The Illustrated History of the War. And on page 133, they have von Rundstedt inspecting the Atlantic Wall defenses as he moves to the west with Sepp Dietrich, SS General Sepp Dietrich, behind Mr. von Rundstedt, and Field Marshal Rommel is mentioned in November 33. He was given his cause for concern through the appointment of Field Marshal Rommel as inspector of the coastal fortifications. Now, the son of Field Marshal Rommel is saying today, in 1985, to Helmut Kohl, don't go to the Bitburg Cemetery. Sepp Dietrich was released by Fritz Kramer and was a defendant in Dachau. I sent his pictures out last week and next week, and if you want to send me postage stamps, I have been spending a fortune in stamps. If you want to contribute some stamps to the cause or printing paper money. It really is costing a lot of money. I never ask for funds, but this is a very expensive project that I'm doing, sending to all these people. But Sepp Dietrich, Rommel, von Rundstedt, with the Upper Silesian group, and then on the Western Division, and the son of Rommel, is the symbolism isn't lost. They don't want the investigation to go on. Now, I'm going to read a section having to do with von Rundstedt and Sepp Dietrich and Fritz Kramer from Ladislaus Farrago's book, The Last Days of Patton. And I might mention that George Patton III, the son of General Patton that I'm talking about, is on the board of Western Gold, that national, international organization with computers to the BND, to the Galen Group in Germany through Mr. Wigner, a member of the Luftwaffe pilot on Western Gold, the group that has been as silenced with their trial in Los Angeles that the LAPD settled with to not have the public at large know about the computers into police departments. John Singlaub on Western Gold with the late Larry McDonald of the John Birch Society. John Singlaub, the president of WACL with the Waffen-SS. Edward Teller, the father of the Star Wars that has pushed Ronald Reagan since 1966 with the Star Wars. Admiral Moore, Kissinger's co-partner of the Watergate scandals, former chief of Navy, in fact, joint chief of staff. George Patton, John Singlaub, Edward Teller, Admiral Moore, and more on Western goals, pushing the German computers, the American computers, into international waters with the Nazis in Germany at the current time. That's why Larry McDonald had to go down, and I wrote about it because Western goals is too important to this whole saga. But anyway, getting back to the father of Patton, the Patton who today says, don't go into Bitburg, and they know what will happen if we go into Bitburg. In the last, pardon me, I just took a sip of water. The Last Days of Patton, on page 132, it tells about his being with the top Nazis. There was, of course, no fraternization, in quotes, with any of the Germans, but there was. One distinguished transient in the town where they were was Gert von Rundstedt, again from the Bulge and from the area of the Upper Silesia, and the area that is familiar to Lev Dobryansky and his particular Pavlo Chandrak. Von Rundstedt, by now the decrepit dean of Hitler's field marshals, got back into harness and led the Nazi offensive and the Ardennes offensive. And von Rundstedt was very comfortable after the war. He was welcomed by soldiers, and he lived in Bad Tölz, T-O-E-L-Z, holding his court of his own, waiting for the Americans to pay him homage. Patton at first ignored him. Then the word was sent out to General Patton to be kind to him. They said the word was received from Schaff, that's the main headquarters, S-H-A-E-F, that he was to be treated by any other prisoner of war, removed to the VIP cage in Luxembourg, thus deprived Tölz of their only dignitary. But it was interesting for General Patton. The only friend he made in Bad Tölz, von Rundstedt said when he was staying there, was his stable boy who took excellent care of the horses. And these are Patton's horses and Patton's horse trips. No ordinary groom, he was Baron von Wagenheim, W-A-N-G-E-N-H-E-I-M, Germany's premier horseman, captain of the equestrian team, won the gold medal at the 1936 Olympic Games. A colonel in the SS cavalry, he was paroled. He was paroled to serve Patton's as his stable sergeant to take care of General George Patton's horses. Colonel von Wagenheim was an unreformed Nazi. He was of the opinion that even though the Americans fought the wrong enemy, it was not too late to make up the mistake. This was the official Nazi line conceived by General Alfred Jodl, J-O-D-L, again in the Battle of the Bulge, the morning after he signed the instrument of unconditional surrender of the top generals and members of the SS to General Patton to turn them over. The morning after he signed that. It didn't take long for the idea to take root. These Nazis, infatuated with the Führer, based their expectation of a comeback on the inevitable split that would have to happen between the Americans and the Russians. And so from the outset, they spotted General Patton as their potential ally. Colonel von Wagenheim was not in St. Quirin by accident, Q-U-E-R-I-N. His mission, to be Patton's groom to take care of General Patton's horses, was arranged slyly by the Sicherheitsdienst, S-I-C-H-E-R, Seizure, Height, H-E-I-T-S, Deenst, D-I-E-N-S-T. It's very important to remember that, arranged by the Seizure Heights Deenst, which is the security officer of the Nazi Party, to supply and to spy on the proconsul and partly to stimulate his anti-Russian slant. This is General Patton and the people that would be defending them or prosecuting them. Patton, rated as English-speaking, debonair, stable sergeant, as a very good man, the debonair Olympic person who 1936 Olympics. And the Baron, indeed, was a delightful companion on long horse rides when General Gay was prevented from accompanying him. General Gay might have been the American control over this staunch Nazi, Baron von Wagenheim, but Gay was left home, and Wagenheim, rode alone with General Patton out in the fields, just as Ronald Reagan gets on his horses and goes off in secrecy. That's where I'm sure the prime meetings are held, where there's no bugs, unless they're tied to the horse's tail and back. In spite of the vast differences in their rank and status, General Patton and his groom became friends. This is General Patton speaking. I've never had any animus against the professional soldier who fought against me. That's what they were hired to do. And that was the meeting place after the Battle of the Bulge with the top people. Again, I think I've had this on the air before, but not for a long time, from the same book, page 228, by Ladislas Farrago. Here in the custody and care were the great captains of defunct German army under the control of General Patton and others, whom Patton always professed to respect, even across the barriers of war. He came to regard them with something akin to admiration and affection as his sympathies for the Germans grew. Now, this is when Dachau was opened up, and Auschwitz, and Bergen-Belsen, and all Treblinka, and the concentration camps. When the horrors of war were opened up, this is the 40th anniversary. It's been protected from most students of high school and colleges in the United States. They saw more in this past 2 weeks than they ever saw in their life, if they watched television at all. When the war was over, Patton admired the generals. He was sympathetic, and his sympathies grew when the war was over. He was working for him now were the erudite Hasso von Montefiore, M-A-N-T-E-U-F-F-E-L, the ace of the Panzer generals, as was Kurt Student with him, the brilliant and adventurous commanding general of the parachute troops, one who was involved with the betrayal at Arnhem. Here were the former Panzer generals Erich Brandenburger, and some from the Wehrmacht, Gerhard Kurt von Schwerin, S-C-H-W-E-R-I-N, and Fritz Kramer, such proven greats among the infantry leaders, and several others whose names you won't remember, but Fritz Kramer and General Patton were together. Now, he admired them. The German intelligence had put their top equestrian, their social buddy, with them to fraternalize with our top generals, and Henry Kissinger, according to John Loftus, was in charge of Otto Skorzeny and Klaus Barbie, and I've referred to the marriage of the OSS and the SS, our organization set up by British intelligence and the German SS Gestapo. Here's where it took place. What I think was that the Fritz Kramer that put Henry Kissinger in the Battle of the Bulge, for those of you who are not yet clear about him, and some of you still do not understand it, I think as a fluke, he was picked up on the German side and was taken in this hospitable environment and had to be a defendant, number 33, at the Dachau trials. But according to Mr. Cole, who wrote the 1,000-page history of the Battle of the Bulge, Fritz Kramer helped write the history of the Battle of the Bulge while he was there and very nicely left his name out except for one sentence, and I've mentioned that before. Now, in the book on Reinhard Galen, The Spy of the Century, I believe it's in Galen. No, it's in The Service. Pardon me. It's The Service. It's his own autobiography, Reinhard Galen. There's a chronology of his life in Nazi Germany and working for the Nazi Germans, how he was promoted to a colonel and head of the foreign armies east and so forth. And I've told you before how he was knighted by the Vatican after the war. The Pope Pius XII admired these Germans as much as George Patton and the American Army did. He was flown to the United States August 26, 1945. I've mentioned that many times. And he stayed there till July 1st, 1946. But on July the 12th, 1946, he was discharged from prisoner status and the formal birth of the Galen organization began. He was discharged. Now, if I was one of the first in the United States ever writing about the Galen organization, I was the first linking it to Watergate and Richard Nixon in 1972, the Nazi connections to Richard Nixon. If I was right that Nixon would be out of office because of Watergate, and I don't want to spend an hour listing the stories that I have on the air for the first time or shared with you or published that were absolutely right, I would just bet anything that the prisoner status of Fritz Kramer was taken away as soon as the Dachau trials were over, and that that Fritz Kramer sitting in that chair, and you just help me pursue it a little further, prove me wrong, and I'll give you all my books on Fritz Kramer, just prove me wrong. So George Patton III is on the board with the late Larry MacDonald and John Singlaub and Edward Teller and Admiral Moore. Now, Teller's come into the new Star Wars, as I say, is the big story. The other big story is the Congress of the United States voting to turn down money to the Contras because of their torture and so forth in South America. John Singlaub and Wackel are into the news more than they ever would, even at the demonstrations in New York, Washington, San Francisco. They're beginning to be identified, these Nazis working with the Waffen-SS. And Western goals is so important that I think you can reevaluate the article I did on why the Korean airline and why Larry MacDonald not only had to be killed, but they made a martyr of him just as they did John Birch, who worked for the OSS. So you wouldn't lose the meaning and the symbolism. And I will be using that quotation over and over again, Mr. Cole's advisor. If one tries to act symbolically, one has to choose the symbols carefully. And that's why the current head of the John Birch Society had to be dunked in the same waters, in the same muddy territory as the person for whom the John Birch Society was named. The OSS worked with the Nazis, and they were very close through the entire war with the SS. Now, I want to go back to the book, The Last Hero. I've also mentioned that on the air before, but some of you haven't heard it. And in terms of Bitburg, I want to go into again about Mr. von Weizsäcker, the importance of the father of the current president of Germany. Just one more time, I want to share with you, in case I didn't do as much of it as I should have done before. This is on the story of Wild Bill Donovan of the OSS, Chapter 45, the FDR's death, that was Franklin Roosevelt, and the German surrender. This is how they surrendered. In March of 45, Mr. Donovan's movements were difficult to track. He was mysterious. He was moving around. We were to open up the Western Front and the Western Allies to occupy Germany before the Red Army got there. And in July and August, the horrible Malmedy massacre and the Battle of the Bulge was in December. In July and August, Donovan held a secret conversation with the German ambassador at the Vatican, Baron Ernest von Weizsäcker, an associate of Canaris, and their conversations involved Pope Pius XII because William Donovan had seen the Pope in July. Now, the Pope was directing this. The Pope, as I say, knighted James Angleton and William Donovan, and was active in the actual decisions of the merging of these forces at the Battle of the Bulge. The conversations, as I say, were arranged by Pius XII, and the Donovan papers show that the regular intelligence officer army who was transferred to the OSS and was stationed in Italy was a Colonel Joseph Rodrigo, whose contacts with Weizsäcker would keep up. Weizsäcker later was to be the defendant in Nuremberg, and his son, the current president of Germany, would represent him. The contacts with Weizsäcker would go on through a counselor at the American embassy. Albert von Kessel was a person they'd be in touch with. It was to transpire that both Weizsäcker, that's Adolf Hitler's liaison to Pope Pius XII, and Mr. Kessel, from working with the American embassy, had connections with important members of the German general staff, including the chief of general staff, General Heinz Gerdermann, G-U-R-D-E-R-I-A-N, Gerdian, and Field Marshal von Rundstedt. The same von Rundstedt that I'll go into later from Upper Silesia, running that operation with the present into Katowice, where present Pope worked for I.G. Farben. The von Rundstedt with Sepp Dietrich and Otto Skorzeny and Hans Ulrich Rodel Von Ronstadt didn't survive all of this, but the others all did, and symbolically, one of them had to go. The matters were brought up by Weizsäcker and Kessel on the terms of surrendering, intending to permit the Wehrmacht, the German army. They wanted to work on the Eastern Front, which was unacceptable. They wanted them to keep attacking Russia while they met us in the West. The von Weizsäcker contact was still in existence in March 1985. This is a Nuremberg defendant who's going to go on trial for war crimes. He was working with the Americans until the Americans marched up to the Rhine, and when in March was the end of the last German offensive. As a result, the secret war entered its trickiest stage, one in which the OSS, run by William Donovan and Alan Dulles, later on the Warren Commission with John J. McCloy, lying about the Nazis and the Kennedy murder, the OSS was required to display their most judicial attitude towards reports from their representatives overseas that the Grand Alliance might be damaged between France and our other allies if they knew that the Pope and Adolf Hitler and von Weizsäcker and Alan Dulles and Mr. Donovan were working all along and working secretly. After several real and false attempts to get an accommodation of Western powers, Great Britain and France and Italy and the others, on January 24th, 1945, that's one month after the massacres, they were in December of 1944 when the Belgians and the Americans were killed. In January, as the German Panzer Army were withdrawing from the Ardennes, William Donovan of the OSS advised the Joint Chief of Staff that the German ambassador to the Vatican, the father of the current president of Germany, who is setting up this meeting with Helmut Kohl, Baron von Weizsäcker and Mr. Kessel, had informed the British representative that they were prepared to give important information concerning General Der Heinz Gerdian, Gerdian with von Ronstadt, and they were prepared to open up the Western Front for Eisenhower's armies. Now, what is wrong with that, you may ask, about this particular action? What is wrong about it was that they were working secretly to make arrangements for these people to be coddled, that Fritz Kramer's mentor, the mentor of Henry Kissinger, would put in the hands of an army private, Fritz Kramer, a salary of $10,000, I think it was annually, I won't say it was a month, maybe he'd get $10,000 a year. I'll have to look that up again. Henry Kissinger got a huge home, a car, a chauffeur to be in charge of Klaus Barbie and people like this Otto Skorzeny. Henry Kissinger was around. The problem was that the Nazis, Adolf Hitler and Pope Pius XII were not very kind to Europe or to the world or to anybody and were singling out this racial genocide, this horrendous activity in Europe, and that the Waffen-SS, the meeting of the Americans, was at this site at the Battle of the Bulge in a chapter called The Cobra. It tells about William Donovan and his meetings again with Pope Pius XII and their discussions about communism, their meeting with the Holy See. That was chapter 37 of the arrangements of at the Remagen Bridge that was not blown up. You've seen it on television in that part. I did have on for you before. I've done it before. But what happened was that as Hitler was meeting in Himmler and their agents with Pius XII, the rat line was being set up by the Vatican for Bormann to leave, and Mengele left later, not on the rat line. He was comfortable in Europe. But Skorzeny and Hans Ulrich Rudel and Sepp Dietrich, they didn't fade away. They made inroads into the American Nazi parties, into the American military. I'll do more of that for you next week and go on to the story of our ambassador down in the Bahamas that I want to do, our Mr. Lev Dobriansky. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to do it this week, but the symbolism can't be lost, or the symbolism of Kissinger saying, "You have to go, Mr. President, Germany, it's important to Germany," or the symbolism of Mr. Rommel, the son of the Desert Fox, saying, "Don't go," and Mr. Strauss saying, "Don't go," and Richard Nixon saying, "Go." Nixon and Kissinger disadvising us, ruining us. Kissinger ruining our country, making it in debt. Germany and Japan are stronger, leading our presidents by the nose, literally by the nose. As I said before when I started the program, Ronald Reagan's the sandwich, Fritz Kramer and Kissinger are the American bread on top, Helmut Kohl, the Chancellor of Germany, and Richard von Weizsäcker are the other side, and Richard Nixon is the pickle relish in between, and the President of the United States and every president since World War II has been sandwiched between the choice of American loyalties, or from the Waffen-SS, the Gestapo, the Liebsten-Dart, the Adolf Hitler machine, the Galen operation that's had us in a bind since World War II. That's what we have to get out of. Meanwhile, my hour's up, so I'll have to continue this with you next week. This is Mae Brussel, and we'll follow the Bitburg and the connecting links to the Nazis in America today. That will be going on for a long time, as I've been doing in the past.